you like to say it?
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handy Man Show. What show number is it, anyway?
209, we think.
Show number 209, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You wanna finish it?
How long has it been? 209.
Oh, God, it's been a long time.
That's amazing. Anyway, welcome to the Blind Handy Man. It's Tom Houston and Don Shaw and Phil Farr and Don Patterson here with you. Kind of busy.
Yep.
Visiting and hoping for the best. How you feeling, son?
Today's been bad. I haven't had a good day today.
Is that right?
Yeah, the whole problem, and I can explain it, and I think now, is that my heart is not going out of rhythm and coming back into rhythm. It's out of rhythm all the time.
Oh.
So therefore, I don't have any energy. If I do anything, it just wears me completely out.
Well?
So I'm supposed to see him again a week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see what he's going to do to get it back into some kind of regular heartbeat.
Yeah. I understand your wife went and visited with my wife this morning.
Yeah, she sure did. It's about time.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Anyway, so, I didn't even call you this morning because I figured it was going to be raining and there wasn't any chance of you showing up.
Well, you know, I didn't know whether anybody called or not because about 1 o'clock,
yeah.
I wondered where Cleta was, so I thought I'd called her on the cell phone.
Yeah.
And I picked up the portable phone, and it was deader than a doornail. I said, well, I know it was on the charger last night, and I looked over at the other phone, and it was off the hook.
Oh.
So some kid, I guess, took it off the hook.
When you got kids in the house, that's what happened.
Yeah, and I didn't have a phone all morning, so I don't know.
Well, we didn't call. Anyway, this is show 209, and Susie Barnes is going to be our guest.
Hey, all right.
And so we're just clicking along. Don Pat's here.
Hi there, everybody. Hi there, Thomas.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good.
Well, good for you.
Compared to you, we're all doing good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
I'm glad all of y'all are doing well.
Well, we need to get you doing well and back up here, and we're ready for you anytime.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Yep. So we'll visit with you in a day or two.
Okay, buddy.
I'll talk to you in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Later, Tom.
Later, Thomas.
Okay,
all right. 209 and from the Little Ranch House Recording Studio on Southwood Drive. That's where we are, and it's Lufkin, Texas, and it's the 25th. Of September. September's just moving on, man.
What fall day. It doesn't feel like it here, but...
It doesn't. It's the autumnal equinox has passed.
Yep.
And so that, for whatever that's worth, it passed last weekend, but we still haven't had any fall weather.
Yeah, it's not worth much in our area, is it?
Well, we had some fairly cool mornings. 63 or 4 degree mornings, but other than that...
Yeah, and it was nice while it lasted.
Other than that, this morning was 74, I think, when I got up.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock or so. So it wasn't good. Anyway, fall will come eventually. So we're going to do one more week, and we're going to miss a couple weeks because we're going to be off in New England and take our little fall vacation. So,
nice, cool weather you guys are going to have. That'll be neat.
Yeah, it was 52, I think, in Barrie, Vermont, which is where we're going to stay.
Wow.
Sunday morning when we got up. Lou Ann looked on
that
her
is cool.
on her iPhone. Lou Ann is an iPhone.
Yeah.
It's the most unfriendly appliance ever made.
Yeah, it's not exactly blind friendly,
is it? It's just a screen. If you don't know where, I can answer it now. She showed me how to answer it, and it's... Yeah, that's all I could possibly do is...
I mean, it looks like the least it could do is say, Phil, press here.
It just naturally should talk. You know, you'd think it would talk some at least.
I don't know if you can make iPhones talk.
I don't either. I don't know.
I think, the greater advances we make in certain areas, we lose just as much ground as visually impaired people and others. I mean, I think we've been down that road before.
Yeah, it's just... take one step forward and two back.
Well, one wonderful thing has happened, and let me just mention, we've been talking about it all afternoon, and that's the new NLS downloading book site. You have to have a stream player to play them, but it is, as far as I'm concerned, a wonderful site. I mean, it's just
It really is.
It is so blind friendly and so neat.
It's just, I'm so glad we finally reached that point, finally, where we're going to get into some digital NLS books.
We ought to generate a mass write-in, though, and see everybody write a letter to NLS and say, when is my player coming? When is my free player?
Rather in 08, they'll tell you that. Right. Next year it's coming.
Next year is supposed to be coming next year. Veterans are going to get them first, and then they'll issue them to the general public.
Well, by God, let's all go sign up.
they're supposed to roll those out. Of course, you know, I don't know how many blind people besides us are going to want to download books. I think a lot.
Oh, I think a lot.
I think
more blind people have computers than they realize. I think they're NLS probably pretty much out of touch with the blind community. They don't realize how many blind people have computers and want to download books.
Books, right.
I have heard several people on the list that we belong to that talks about the Stream Player. I've heard several people that say that they bought the Stream Player only because of the fact of being able to download books.
That's the only reason.
The only reason they bought the player.
That's the only reason I bought the player.
That's what a lot of people are going to be saying and doing.
Well, once again, we're being held hostage by humanware.
Not by humanware, yeah. We are by NLS and humanware. But, you know, everybody's got, you've got two or three iRivers. Don and Pat, you've got what is that thing you have?
The Zoom.
A big Zoom recorder. I've got an iPod and this and that, Olympus, and but none of those. You have to buy a new player. This is a new player you have
to buy. That's right. And that's and 300 and something bucks is not.
Plus shipping, plus a car. You'll have 400 bucks in your
tour. Four into it, yeah.
Plus, because you got to have a card. It doesn't come with a card.
All right, then think of the double families that both people read, and they're going to want their own. You know, John and Pam, perfect example.
Yep.
They'll have their own Zooms, or streams.
They wouldn't consider reading on the same.
No, absolutely not.
So if they would approve an off-the-shelf player, or two, or three, you know, that would solve that whole problem.
Write your congressman. Everybody.
Write somebody.
Yeah, write somebody.
Write somebody.
Write us. We can't do a damn thing about it, but write it.
We can't do anything, but write us anyway. Anyway, let's read some list mail, I suppose, we get off the NLS site. The greatest thing to happen to blind people since the white cane.
Yep.
A paid political announcement.
Really?
Okay, well, our bag overfloweth today.
What's that?
Yeah, email? It's with email. It's just falling out all over the place.
All right,
it says, we power washed our driveway and patio and got great cleaning results, but still cannot remove some rust-like stains and water stains from potted plants.
Uh-huh.
And it says, I've heard of some homespun remedies. Could you enlighten us? And there is an answer, and then we can take up the discussion. Yeah, the guy says, well, better than a home remedy. He says, go to the hardware or to your cleaning supply store, supermarket, and get a product called Zud. Z-U-D.
I've heard of that.
Okay, and it says, they get that in the supermarket in the cleaning section. It says, wet the spot. Sprinkle the powder on, get after it with a scrub brush. And good luck.
And that's that.
Yeah, there's no magic thanks to that. And, you know, the problem with, like, anything on your concrete is porous, and so stains tend to kind of soak in.
Yeah.
But there are several good products.
That stuff you were talking about last week, what was that?
I was thinking the same thing.
That was the L.A. cleaner.
The L.A. awesome cleaner.
Yeah, says that it's good for concrete. But the concrete cleaning products have been made forever. I mean, like I'd get a good degreaser and just, as stains go, the rust is going to be as hard as anything you've ever tackled. And the thing of it is, you'll clean it and then probably put your pot plants right back there.
We paid some
pretty good dollars for the concrete around our pool because it's covered with this cool deck, they call it, to keep it from getting hot so you can walk on it.
That's right.
And Emily has set pot plants up there trying to make the pool attractive and all this. Of course, then the rust is getting on our cool deck. And I know just trying to clean it with just the nozzle on a hose, I haven't been real successful either.
My power washer has an interesting problem. Remember, I bought one cheap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you turn, when you hold the trigger and you start it, you can spray. If you ever let the trigger go, you can't push the trigger again. And it's not the wand, because I made him give me another wand.
Wonder what the some valve someplace.
There's some valve someplace that's stuck. As long as you hold the trigger down, it'll spray, knock you down.
But I wouldn't want to be around it after if you couldn't pull the trigger. It's building up pressure someplace.
Well,
it is like it.
It's, you know, I don't know. That's a weird kind of a thing. You're right, some valve somewhere. I bet there's a website that some guy could tell me how to fix that little
issue. Yeah, maybe we'll look into that.
Go ahead.
The power washer handyman type thing.
All right.
Yeah, like I say, just remember on the concrete, there's several cleaners, so check it out. All right, and it says, here it says, and this is probably a second week we've had a problem similar relating to commodes, and that seems to be a major thing in handyman stuff.
Ongoing.
It says, how can I stop my commode pipes from making a very, very loud humming noise? Every time we flush the commode, we hear the noise.
You can't.
It depends. Somebody wrote an answer to it, but yeah, it would depend. And the answer, that I have here is, says if the
slow
noise,
the water down.
Yeah, it's well if it's a knocking sound, says there's a pipe or something loose that and then there's what they call the water hammer effect. It causes the pipe to vibrate.
Yeah.
And then naturally, of course, his response is, he said, you know, if you can get to it, anchor it. Well, yeah, you just keep this hole in your sheetrock all the time get these pipes. No, some people do have a trap that they might can get in this, but I doubt if their pipes are coming from up in the slab, from down in the slab, rather, I doubt that they can get to it. But also, but he does say, but if it's a water noise, like the knocking sound would probably be a loose pipe, but if it's a water-sounding noise, it may be that your valve is clogged up with minerals, you know, like happens on your ice maker and all that. So he says, you know, to cut the water off at the supply and then remove the valve and clean it. My solution would be remove the valve and buy another one. I cannot imagine taking one of those little commode-type valves off.
They're cheap. Just replace the hole inside. But it's probably in the wall. And the one way to do it is slow down the amount of, in other words, take that thing that's down at the floor where you cut your commode off,
right,
and turn it way down where it takes your commode 5 minutes to fill instead of 30 seconds.
Yeah, you don't care whether it takes a couple of minutes as opposed to 30 seconds.
That's the difference. If you slow it down, that'll stop, probably.
I think so.
All right. Glad we solved. No, I'm not going
to
say it.
Yeah, we've managed to really screw up, too, anyways.
You know, that when we first started doing this show, there were about four shows in a row, and we talked about commodes on all four shows.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just an ongoing thing. Everybody's got one.
Yep.
And mine screws up as bad as my sighted brethren's.
Well, I saw several posts on the list, and our friend Ray Boyce, I believe, had one, and it's kind of like breathing, you know. Nothing else matters. If your commode's not working, not much else matters.
That's true.
He's giving some pointers.
Yep.
All right, let's see.
You had a long one that you were going to read.
Yeah, I have one. I've got one other short one. Or do we have, about five minutes?
Oh, yeah, 7 minutes or so.
Okay. All right, and this one, I picked it out because it kind of struck close to home, and it says, I have several rooms in my house that have knotty pine paneling and or planks, and the guy wants to paint it. And he's asking for advice on how to paint it, how to cover up the knots. Now, I'm faced with a similar problem on the pavilion because I put knotty pine up as a ceiling. Mine is not the real thick boards. Mine is made specifically for ceilings. This guy, I think, is talking, got some paneling.
Here's
and
your
some planks.
Tongue and groove stuff.
Mine is little tongue and groove, 6-inch boards.
Yeah.
And what happened after one coat of primer and two coats of paint is the rosin in the pine knots bled through my paint. So obviously, in that situation, I didn't use the right kind of paint. There's several solutions. Especially like in the email writer's situation, if he is going with a dark paint, the problem's a lot easier to solve. And his wood is probably seasoned, and perhaps the pine knots have done all the bleeding they're going to. I don't know how long others, but there is, in his case, there may be some cracks, because also these knots tend to crack, and so somebody recommended that you fill that up with putty first, and then you get a good stain resistant, and that's the key word there, primer, and then you go over it with a couple of coats of paint. I am going to even go further. because I think mine are fresh, more fresh, and will probably continue to bleed through a while. I've also heard of a solution where you can paint each pine knot with shellac. Let it dry, and then you can paint, and that will inhibit
that
the...
That makes sense, doesn't it?
But if you use something like Kilms primer, but yeah. I'm going to go with an oil-based paint this time. That's sort of my October.
I thought yours for a couple of years, because yours are going to bleed more, I believe.
I think if I do the shellac, I'm going to get a spray can and just go every knot hole and spray it and then let it dry for a while. But actually painting that ceiling is kind of my October project. But anyway, half of it is, like I say, in his case, I think his are old, and he's going to be more interested in cosmetic. I don't care if the pine knots show in mine, except I want them to be the same color. But I don't care if you know they're in the wood. It actually makes a nice pattern.
Well, I was going to say, Luann would think that was pretty. I mean,
yeah,
she'd think that was really neat.
Yeah, but not that they bled through, because then you've got yellow splotches on a beautiful white, what was beautiful white ceiling. So.
I just, you know, sometimes married to her, I just thank God I'm blind. Because, you know, I'd be out there. But you didn't see my house numbers I put up.
No, where'd you put them?
I put them out there by the street, so when they bring my stream, they'll be able to
find the right place.
I thought perhaps you got lost again, like you told me one time you wound up on the other side.
On the other side of everywhere. But no, I put up some house numbers, and it was really funny because I put a couple pieces of cedar on the side of a 4x4 so they'd look better and put the numbers on that. And I got into one place on this 4x4 and bent every little short nail. You couldn't do it in the nail gun. I finally had to go to the hardware store and buy a box of nails to do this with. I bent every one, so I'd pull them out and start another, because then you got a pilot hole, you know.
Right.
But there's one little place on this wood was hard, like concrete or something.
I've ran into that.
Deal was. Anyway, read your long one.
A long one. This is from our good friend Lee Stone, and it was it just kind of grabbed my attention because I figure you, meaning Phil Barr, since you have one, could probably help him out here.
Yeah.
It says, for those of you who have alarm systems on your home, I would appreciate it if you would share what you considered when choosing the alarm company you have. Also, would you want to make any changes? I have had one company here, and I think he was upset as I told him I wanted to consider a few options. For instance, when I told him part of the system I want is for an alarm for my outside entryway or Bilco doors, he suggested I just cover that by having a motion detector cover the door, which opens into a hallway into the main floor. My problem with this is if someone left the Bilco doors unlocked, then someone could roam the basement, and who would know?
Yeah.
And before we get into your answer, Phil, I'll tell you, I didn't know what a Bilco door was. I went on, and that was the first question I saw on the list. What's a Bilco door? And I went online. There's a company named Bilco, but also it has to pertains to a particular door. I think they lay flat on the ground and open up. It split. In other words, one on the left and one on the right,
like you
see in downtown Houston. And that would lead you into a stairwell into your basement.
Okay, so he wanted those alarmed or not alarmed, or what did he want?
Well, he wanted an alarm there, but the alarm company he's dealing with said that they wanted him to put a motion detector there. He wanted to know what decisions you made in choosing your company, and would you make any changes, and did you...
Well, I knew a guy. I just chose mine because I knew a guy, but mine is monitored. It's really weird because it's monitored from some place in Kansas City. I mean, if it goes off, they call me from Kansas City and tell me, Mr. Parr, your alarm just went off. But you can take off any room. If you know how to do it, if you read the manual, with that key panel, you can alarm or disable any door you want to.
But was your house pre-wired?
Yes, I had it pre-wired when we built the house and the building, too.
Yeah, okay.
And I very seldom set to one in the house, set to one in the building all the time because the guitars are out here.
Right. Well, see, you, that would have another, some of the responses were, too, you know, would their response time be a consideration for you? Or would, you know, if you were using the phone lines, what if the bad guys cut the phone lines?
Well, if they cut the phone lines, you're screwed. You're in trouble.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
If they cut the line, would your alarm not go off?
Oh, it'd go off, but it wouldn't call anybody.
Yeah.
It couldn't call anybody.
Yeah, now, did your people in Kansas City call you, or did they send the cops?
They call
they can't get
If they can't get you, they'd send the cops. If you don't know the secondary code, they'll send the cops.
If you had any changes to make, what would you do? Would you make any?
No, I would.
You're satisfied with your company?
I've been pretty happy with my alarm people. The old boy, he came, the one in the studio came out, didn't work, and he came out and spent all afternoon and looked at it and fixed it. And, you know, I'm happy. Charles Forrest with Alarm Co. in Lufkin, Texas. I knew him from somewhere.
And about what monthly fee do you...
I pay it by the year. I think it's $2-something a year to
cheap.
Have it alarmed.
Man. Yeah, it's not bad.
$2-something a year, and that's for both buildings. And they, you know, and they believe me, if it goes off, they'll call you. The reason I knew it wasn't working is because it went off and they didn't call.
One time we came over here, Mr. Shaw, and it went off.
All right, let's take a little break, and we're going to call our guest Susie Barnes. She'll be along in just a minute. Don Batts in the house, and Don Shaw and Phil Parr. Hang right on. We'll be right back. Pretty exciting, isn't it? We're back here in our beautiful studios, and we have on the phone from Knoxville, Tennessee, Susie Barnes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
It sounds like you're sitting right here. You know that?
It does, yeah. Great audio.
I mean, it just sounds like you're right in the room with us. It's amazing.
Hey, Susie.
Hey.
The quality is superb.
Yep.
Quality
excellent.
Is superb. Well, how packed are you?
Well... I have so many boxes packed, and then when I look around, I wonder what I have packed. You know, it's going to take... I've been messing around, so the next 2.5 weeks, that's what I'm going to have to do, is just pack, pack, pack. So,
yeah, because you've got it to do. You've got your house, you've got your condo sold, and your new house bought.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so it's... It's time to do it. Tell us about selling the condo. What went into that? How did you bought a your condo is in a big building, right?
Right. Well, I'm in a fourplex, and there's three fourplexes connected here. There's actually 52 units in the association.
Okay.
Wow.
So some of them are fourplexes and some of them are townhouses.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an upstairs one and that I have really enjoyed. But after going to Murfreesboro and spending some time with my son and daughter and brothers, I decided it was time to move back home. So, I contacted the realtor that I bought this from or by way of, and so they put it on the market, and I guess it was on the market about 3 weeks, and I thought things were kind of going slow, so
you reduced the price.
My nephew in Murfreesboro, who was looking for me a place there, suggested one of the things was an open house, so I called and she said yes. So the open house was scheduled on the 9th of September. And she said, you have to be out of the house. Well, my son and daughter were coming up to take me out for lunch for an early birthday, which turned into a surprise birthday party.
Yeah.
And all right. So that night, I guess about 15 minutes after they left, she called and she said, I sold your house.
Amazing.
That is cool. Really neat.
So then Monday, I actually... you know, turned the big number, and Wednesday got on the bus, went to Murfreesboro, and looked at places. Wednesday and Thursday and Friday night, I signed the papers on the place in Murfreesboro. I had been looking at it on the net, though, and the price kept going down, and so...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Did they list yours on the net? How did these people find you? Is that how they found
you? Yeah, they listed it on the net, and it was a multiple listing.
Yeah.
So the person who bought it actually bought it from a realtor that's not mine.
Yeah.
But,
well, they all swap those commissions back and forth, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what they
and
do.
So, yeah, they bought mine that way.
Did they tell you any things to do, like, if you have a house with a fireplace and they're showing your house, they want you to have a little fire going in your fireplace. They want you to have certain things, certain ways, because those things appeal. Did anybody tell you any of that, or would you just clean it up and hope for the best?
The realtor didn't tell me any of that, but there's a friend of mine who lives here in the condos,
yeah,
who does interior decorating and stuff. And I asked her, I said, do you mind coming up here and just giving it a look-see? And so she just moved a few things around and brought in a plant and put in one room, and we moved a table and, you know, just three or four little things. And she said, it looks good. Well, see, I had read that one of the things to do is to bake cookies, and
yeah,
that gives a good smell.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a cookie baker, but anyway, I didn't do that. So we went out, and when the kids and I came in, I opened up the door, and I said, what is that smell? I said, it is awful. And then as I walked in, I said, it smells like something is burning, but I know I didn't leave anything on. So my daughter stuck her head in the kitchen, and she said, well, there's cookies on the table. And I said, oh, no. Because my oven registers 125 degrees hotter than the thermostat says, and I didn't think about telling the realtor that, so she burned up her cookies.
But she baked some cookies in your kitchen while she was showing your house.
Yes, and she burned them.
Burned some cookies.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Did you disclose that little fact to the people who were buying your condo?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Or you'd want
to? When she called that night, I said, I didn't think about telling you that my oven cooks real hot. And she said, well, I wondered what happened to my cookies. So, yeah, I told her. And then the day they did the inspection, the lady who is buying the house came in. And I told her, I said, well, there's one thing I need to tell you. And, you know, and she said, well, I'll just leave it like it is. And I'll just know to drop my temp down 125 degrees. And I said,
wonder why that is. Wonder what causes that.
Well, it's because the thermostat was changed, and the guy who did it, he kind of is a jackleg repair person,
mm-hmm,
whatever.
We got three or four of those
and
right here.
He did it. He did it like a reverse. Instead of it being mounted from 12 to 6, he
okay,
had it mounted from 3 to 9 or whatever.
I got you.
Because I had the KUB electrician to come out and look at it, and he saw immediately that's what it was. And I said, well, what can I do? And he said, well, I can put another thermostat on there, but he told me how much it was going to cost, just the thermostat itself, and then how much labor would be. And he said, for about another $100, you could just put your new stove in here. And I said, well, forget it.
Yeah.
I can.
So he put his
thermometer in there and, you know, calibrated it or checked it out to make sure that if he put it on 225, that it would hold 350. It wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Alternate. And I said, well, I can bake on 225. So
yeah, you could live with that, huh?
But I'm wondering if you could just reposition the knob, take the knob off, or is it a push?
No, he tried it.
He tried that.
Yeah, he tried everything, and he said, well, this is the way it is. And I said, just do me a little groove right in there. And I said, I'm good to go. So.
Yeah.
After that, I didn't have nearly as many burnt offerings as I had when I first moved.
My father-in-law came over here one time and was fixing me, but Luann was gone, and he was going to cook something, and he turned the stove on, and he thought it was on low, and it was on high. Obviously, I had the knob on reversed, but I had taken it off and done something with it, so,
mm-hmm,
you know. Anyway, mm-hmm, so your condo is sold, and it's time to pack, and you went to Murfreesboro and found a house, and tell us about
tell us about the new place.
A blind person walking through a house, how do you decide if you want it or don't want it?
Screensaver.
Oh, well, there's my screensaver. I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, actually, one of my brothers, well, I already had all the details about it that I'd looked at over and over on the Internet. You know, uh-huh. I knew what size it was and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. And, of course, the price had a heck of a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah.
Because I had a dollar amount that I could spend, and there just wasn't much there. But one of my brothers drove out with me, and he described the neighborhood and, you know, and how the house looked and all this kind of stuff. And so then my nephew took me. And this is a zero lot line, is what it is.
What does that mean?
Well, I really thought it was just a great way of saying duplex, but I think that they're actually two separate buildings built, but they're built just side by side. There's no space there.
Uh-huh.
So you, your yard, you don't have much in front, but then you have a backyard. And mine has a 6-foot privacy fence from where my part starts all the way around the property.
That's good.
Okay, but yeah. You have neighbors living right up against you on one side.
Well, their garage backs up to my living room.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So that, I think, will be a good thing.
Well, unless they have a teenager who practices with his band in the garage or something.
Well, yeah, I can probably go in my garage then.
You could
work that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, it's got you walk in through the living room, and then it's got a small dining room that separates the living room from the kitchen, and it has a galley kitchen, which I like.
Yeah.
And that. The back door leads you right out onto a good-sized patio, and then you've got this big backyard. And then it has two bedrooms and good closets and utility room and all that kind of stuff.
So you couldn't...
I don't know. I'm pretty good at checking out houses. We would go in some, and we wouldn't walk in but about 3 or 4 feet, and I'd turn around to Mark, and I'd say, I don't like this. We need not stay.
Really? For what? Like, for what? Why? Why? For example?
Okay. One of the houses, it had been supposedly had a lot of remodeling done to it, and they were so proud of it. Well, you walk in, and we walked into the living room, and they had, you know, put down new carpet and new floor covering everywhere, and their kitchen. We walk in there, and their kitchen sink, the right-hand end edge of it, is even with the countertop. I mean, there wasn't even room to put a glass on the right-hand side of that. It was
really
just there.
That's strange.
And you looked at that and said, I don't like this.
Yeah, I said, I don't like it. And then there was one place that we went in to that had been changed from apartments to condos, and it was really nicely done, except... of course, one of my things is I have to have a washer-dryer hookup.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the kitchen. And the kitchen was little to begin with, and they had, you know, they had furniture in there just to show how it would look. And they had this little bar with stools on either side of it, mm-hmm, for two. But it was sitting right in front of the washer-dryer hookup.
Really?
So you could either have a washer-dryer in your kitchen, or you could eat in there. And that was it. One or the other. And I said, no, this is not going to work. And let's see, what were some of the others?
Now, I think I asked you the other day, you did not have this house inspected? Or you did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did have it inspected?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy didn't really find anything?
He found a few things, and they're in the process of fixing them.
Really?
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Does this house have a basement?
No.
It does not have a basement.
Mm-mm.
But it does have a patio, and you, I guess in your condo, you've never been able to cook outside, have you?
No. I had a small deck, and some people cooked on theirs, but... Yeah, I'll be able to cook here.
You'll
and
like
plus,
it.
This has got an attached garage. It doesn't enter... from the house, I mean, from inside the house.
Yeah.
But you've got an entry door front and back, just a regular pathway door.
That's good.
And I like that. And it also has the pull-down stairway, you know, to the attic.
In the garage?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
And in the back corner of the yard is a, I think it's about a, I don't know if it's a 10 by 10 or 12 by 12, whatever, a little wooden storage building that from a distance it looks like a little log cabin.
Yeah.
But we went out there and it was clean as a whistle. So, anyhow.
Do you have to?
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, do you have to keep your own yard, like your own grass cut and stuff, or do you have a lawn service that goes with the condo or?
Well, this is not a condo, and no, there isn't a lawn service, but for what you pay in maintenance fees, I think I'll have no problem getting a lawn service to mow my yard. Well,
when you say it's zero property line, I kind of have an idea of what that means, too, but if you have a common wall, then also you've got a common roof, so where does your roof maintenance
stop? Well, I said that we don't really have a common wall. It's just that my living room wall, I mean, I was just telling you how they're positioned. They have separate roofs, because I asked that.
Yeah, in other words, well, zero property usually means like if you had an easement of 5 feet, you can't build within that. But zero means you can put something right on the line, but or like an overhang on a roof, but wouldn't you imagine, like, if I was standing in between your neighbor's house and yours, I could probably touch both houses, but there's
a space
there.
But you could walk
there,
through
right?
there, probably.
Could you walk between the two houses or not?
I don't think so.
Well, then you've got a common roof of some sort. How could you not?
Well, they said no.
I don't know.
Where's your air conditioning unit in regards to this?
Pardon?
Do you have central heat and air?
I've got central heating and air. It's 1 year old.
Yeah, so where is that unit located? In your backyard or on the side?
My brother checked it. I really don't know.
Okay.
All right, well, get him on the phone.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to. I mean, it wasn't a trick question. I was just trying to figure out the layout of your spot.
Well, we always ask that because.
My brother built houses for 25 years, so he was the one who went out to check out to make sure what was what. And
right.
And my roof is 4 years old.
Okay.
And it is not common with anybody else's. It's on your house. And
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right.
How about the size?
I think it's kind of like the condos here. The fourplexes, you've got three that are lined up right against each other.
Right.
But they all have their own outside walls.
Yeah,
okay.
Really?
Yeah.
They're just built that way.
Yeah.
And the one across the street, then, when they built them, instead of putting them against each other like these two are over here, there's just a little walkway between them, and that's it.
Hmm. How about
I don't know. It may be a glorified duplex, but it doesn't matter. It's got from where mine starts, that's where my privacy fence goes, and it's got, you know, a large backyard and side yard. So.
And your privacy fence is yours. I mean, it covers your yard.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Mine.
Yeah, that's
well,
good.
You know, but their garage is between you and them, so if they, you know, want to yell and scream, you won't hear them. I mean, if you got it.
Well,
some
see,
barrier.
I will have my computer and stuff in the bedroom in the other side anyway. So, you know, if they're real loud, then we'll work it out. But
how far?
Understand that all the people that live in that cul-de-sac are homeowners and instead of being renters.
You hadn't mentioned that it was a cul-de-sac. That's great.
How far are you in Murfreesboro from where you were in Knoxville? How many miles?
It's about 190 miles.
Okay, so we're talking U-Haul rental trucks, or are you doing a moving company? Or
I rented the truck this morning.
Okay.
Really?
One trip going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I moved my mom from where she lived before she passed away to where we live here in Lufkin. It took three trips, and I promise you I had to bring all of her stuff. The last stuff in the last truck wasn't worth the rental on the truck, but she wanted it anyway.
How big her house did she have?
She had a small house. That was amazing. She had a 900-square-foot house, and when I moved up here, I bought a 2,100-square-foot house, and the stuff she had in her 900-square-foot filled up my house.
How many square feet is your house, Susie, this new one? Do you know?
I think it's about 900.
Really? So it's just a small...
That's a neat size.
That's good for you. Yeah,
for a single person, yeah. That's great.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure it is. That's plenty.
And where's your keyboard going to be? Where's the music room?
Well, the music room will be in the living room. I will have the keyboard in the... See, mine looks like a piano.
Right.
And so it will be in the living room.
Okay, that's great.
Well, if your computer's not in the same room, then you won't be able to play on for the people.
Yeah, well, I'll be able to run those cords through the house. I know how to do that.
Right. You do know how to do that.
What a deal.
All right. Well, good luck, and I guess get back to packing. Any special? Are you labeling boxes so you'll know what they are, Braille?
Yes.
Surely you are.
I'm labeling everything in Braille, and that used up my Braille magazines that I use for wrapping dishes, which works really well.
Yeah.
And then my neighbor is going to come over and... Before I do a whole lot of more packing, at least putting in that particular room, she's bringing over her big marker and she's marking the boxes. So.
And you have to be out when? You have to move when? Be out.
I am moving the 13th. We close on the house here on the 11th, mm-hmm. I think at 5 o'clock, and then on the 12th, my oldest brother is going to act as my power of attorney. And he's going to sign all the papers in Murfreesboro. And then we pick up the truck. I've scheduled that we can pick up the truck Friday night because we can have it 2 days. And then I'm moving on the 13th. So
and you have somebody to drive the truck.
Yeah, my son is coming up from Murfreesboro to drive the truck. But I found out that I could get somebody else to go and pick the truck up.
So you can start loading it Friday night.
Yeah, that's my idea. Of course, I haven't shared all my information with everybody. But, anyway, I figured
sometimes that's best.
Yeah, I figured if I had the truck here and we could get some things in, and then by the time he got here and the other folks were here, we might actually have it packed by the time he got here.
Might be ready to roll.
That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it?
And my, I've got my youngest brother. I told him to organize me a team to unload it when we got there. So, anyway, we'll just see how this all goes.
Yeah, I guess you will. But this will be.
I think it will be fine.
You said it was. This is your last move.
I said that when I did.
I know that. I know that.
Yeah. I sure did.
Well, happy birthday, belatedly, 60 years old.
I know.
Tom Patterson was 65 since you turned 60. So.
What day is your birthday?
September the 11th.
Well, mine's the 15th. That was the big 6-5.
Well, I was the big 6-0. Yeah.
6-0.
My daughter surprised me with a, surprise birthday party with my neighbors here, my favorite neighbors, and it was just really nice.
Yeah, it's painless. When you get this old, it's pretty painless, these birthdays are. Susie, thank you much, honey, and I'll talk to you in a day or two.
Okay, you all have a good day.
We will.
Okay.
All right, let's see if Skype, Skype will disconnect here, Don. Let's
escape.
There it goes. A little noise it makes.
Very good. Skype was excellent today.
It was excellent. The quality was knocked out.
It was. It was really good.
All right, let's do a little short break. We'll come back and talk about something.
All right.
We'll something to talk about. Hang on. smooth jazz.
Yeah, real smooth.
Boy, it is pretty smooth. I think that's Kenny G, no? What do you think? Huh?
Nah,
probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know we've talked about this before, but I wanted to talk a little bit about a little item that you may not know about. If you do, you know of their usefulness. And this is called a thing called a turnbuckle.
Yeah.
You may ask, what is a turnbuckle? Well, turnbuckle is kind of a weird thing. A turnbuckle, you've seen one. You saw one on your grandmother's back screen door. There was one. On everybody's grandmother had a turnbuckle holding up her screen door. It's a thing that you attach on each end and you tighten the middle. And if you put, for instance, this turnbuckle, you would put across the screen door, you would put the bottom of it, if you face the screen door, on the side that you open. If this door opens on the right, you'd put the bottom of it there on the right, and it would angle across the door. You'd put the top part on the left and let it out as far as it'll go. And then when you tighten it up, it'll pull the screen back into plumb.
Yeah.
Or back into square, so the screen will fit the frame again. And the screen won't sag, because all those old screen doors, wooden screen doors, even storm doors. My storm door coming in from the garage is sagging. It clips at the top every time you close it. So I'm fixing to put a turnbuckle on that screen door, on that storm door. I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to bring it up and see how long it takes Luann to notice it. Because I doubt if they're pretty. But anyway, turnbuckle is a thing that there are many uses for. I think you said you had one on your tractor, Don.
Yeah, in fact, I broke it on the back on the lift part of the three-point hookup, and I'm not an expert in tractors. But anyway, there's one on either side, and I think you can. It has to do with the height or the load. You can level the three-point hookup, or
yes, you could
tilt it to one side or the other. And I just happened to notice that one was broke. I must have had something, too much weight or something. So.
But you can go get another one.
Yeah, they're just made up of a couple of bolts and kind of a middle part that screws in. In other words, the threads go in the same direction, right?
The threads go. I thought about that. I used to think one of them was B-threaded. I don't think it is.
No.
The threads go the same direction because you're turning two different ways.
Yeah, and then you're taking up, if you tighten it, you're actually shortening the distance between something. And
that's
if
right.
You lengthen it, and it's a solid. I mean, like mine is on each end, has two loops. It's kind of flexible, but it also holds its distance. It whatever you adjust it, or you can shorten it or lengthen it.
And I've got that rocking chair that's up on the porch there. It has a turnbuckle on each side because it was a rocking chair that I had rocked in a lot and rocked it to pieces.
I seen that turnbuckle.
Where it was coming, the dowels were coming out, the arms were coming off.
Yeah.
So I hammered it all back together and put a couple turnbuckles on it and pulled it up to where it's supposed to be. And that was 20 years ago.
And it's still
sitting there, rocking it all the time. But it will not allow the chair. In other words, the chair is not holding itself together. The turnbuckles are holding it together.
Right.
And in certain uses, I had other table we had. I had a couple chairs with turnbuckles on that I had pulled the back up with turnbuckles.
A gate, a wooden gate. I think I've seen some on gates before.
Wooden gates.
Yeah, and I'm not thinking, too, on, like, a lot of guy wires.
Yeah.
You know, where they could put the tension on them, just how much they needed. I'm not sure they do that much anymore. It seems like they may use a different system. But, I mean, that's where I've encountered most of them, seem like.
If you had a clothesline or something between poles, seems like.
You could put a turnbuckle in it and pull it up tight. And I've only seen two sizes. I'm sure they make other sizes, but they make a long one that's kind of made out of the coat hanger. It's not coat hanger wire. It's about twice the thickness of coat hanger wire. And it's a big long one like you'd use on a screen door. And then I've got a couple little short ones that I bought because I saw them and thought, well, I'll use these someday.
And don't they have, like, eye bolts in each end to put a screw through?
There are some. The little short ones do have an eye bolt in each end. I don't have any use for them right now, but someday they'll be, if you ever see one, it's like other things that you may not have a use for it now, but someday you'll think, well, I could pull that up back into place,
right.
Pull that chair back into line or pull that whatever, but with a turnbuckle.
And I don't know if they call, they look, they come in different shapes, like the kind of, that I'm used to, or like in a sense where the bolts come through the centerpiece is kind of hot. That's open. You can see that or feel that
the
bolt
bolts,
as you
yes.
turn. But there's a couple of them on my tractor that serve the same purpose. I don't know if technically they're called turnbuckles, but that whole big bolt that are the screw where both screws are screwed into either end is solid. It's like a big brass. I mean, the whole thing, and as you turn it to the right, well, it pulls things tighter if you loosen it. And it's like a leveling device, the one in particular that I'm thinking of it. And so, like on the link, the top link on my, when I hook up my bush hog, it, in a sense, is like a little
turnbuckle
because as you twist, in other words, it allows you to have something attached at both ends and still make an adjustment. It, you know, you can shorten it and lengthen it without taking either end to loose.
Yeah, without drilling new holes and
right.
starting. But you remember the racetrack at the blind school, the old racetrack
right,
at the Texas
cables.
School for the blind? That cable had the biggest turnbuckle I've ever seen in my life at each end.
Well,
it was huge.
Yeah.
I'd seen them on Grandma's screen door, but I saw this and went, Jesus, what a...
Oh, they make some industrial ones that would blow you away.
They do. But, they're you know, if you know about them, you eventually... If you're mechanically inclined, you'll run across some situation. You'll think, well, that would be the perfect thing to use a turnbuckle on. You can, of course, buy them at Lowe's or your local. I went to Admin Daniels yesterday. There wasn't any customers in there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon but me.
Yeah, and I bet they had turnbuckles, a lot of turnbuckles.
I didn't buy any. I bought what I bought was some stainless steel bolts to put that block up that's got the numbers on it for my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we lived at one side said 1604 when I got through with the numbers, and the other side said 1600P. So, of course, I had to turn it. I had to turn the 4 around because I had it backwards. It looked like a P. 1600P Southwood.
Yeah. But you were the onlyest customer, huh?
I was that's the only the customer in the hardware store. Paul was in the back eating his lunch. Having tacos from Taco Bueno.
Yeah.
And the
good
two
idea.
Boys were there, and I bought some stainless steel bolts because I don't want to have to do this again. I want to do it and leave it down there. I just took two pieces of cedar and a piece of 4x4 and tacked these two pieces of cedar on each side so it would look fairly nice, and put the numbers on, and then put a little piece of short piece of angle iron. That happened to be bent. It actually wasn't an angle iron. It's just a little piece. You've seen it. I bought a long piece about 6 feet long of aluminum or stainless steel that had holes all the way down it.
Right.
You know.
It's like shelving.
Yeah, like you'd build shelves out with.
Right.
And so I just cut a piece of that and bent it and put it on the bottom of the block and screwed it onto this pole that's already down there that had the newspaper box
right.
on it.
Right.
The newspaper box is long since gone. So when they bring things to my house, they've been bringing them next door.
Not good.
Yeah, the guy
yeah,
next
that
door,
could be a problem.
And then you have to deal with Dickie Dixon.
Yeah.
And no one wants to do that.
And I can see the neighbor downloading books from...
That's right. The stream may be next door.
Those NLS books.
Yeah.
Well, my cards ought to come today. I bought two 4-gig cards.
All right. 2 4-gig cards?
She's going to use one for a camera. I only get one of them.
Man.
She's going to use one of them for a camera. For $42 a piece on the internet with a card reader.
Man, that's a better price than I got on sale at the Rat Shack.
Yeah, this, we looked around, and we, these
what
are
what a deal.
I think these are SanDisk.
Yeah, that's the one I got was SanDisk, same brand, but I paid $45. So
is that right?
Yep.
Where are we here? Are we ready?
No, we got a couple minutes here.
Start the old theme. Well, you want to read David Letterman's top 10 list, Pat?
I could.
All right. By the way, I saw top 25 things a man should know. And some of them weren't good. One of them was how to do something with your computer. Three or four of them were things that I don't. I'm going to start on the list 25 things a blind man should know how to do.
These are probably the top 10 or 13 or 14 things that actually didn't make Dave Letterman's list. They're just little bits of wisdom. I've heard you even say a couple of them.
All right.
It just says light travels faster than sound. This is why some people appear bright until you hear them speak. You know, not too bad. All right.
Go ahead.
This is he who laughs last thinks slowest.
Okay.
Change is inevitable except from a vending machine.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Those who live by the sword get shot by those who don't.
Could be.
Nothing is foolproof to a sufficiently talented fool. This is my favorite right here.
What?
The 50-50-90 rule. Anytime you have a 50-50 chance of getting something right, there's a 90% probability you'll get it wrong.
Well, yeah.
Murphy's Law.
And then there's yours about if you lined up all the cars from here to the moon and all that, that some fool would...
Some idiot would pull out a pass.
Any time on a hill in the fog, you know.
Yeah.
And saying if the shoe fits, get another one just like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
If all the lawyers in East Texas were lined up end to end, it'd be a good thing.
Right. And shot. No. And this says, let's see, the things that come to those who wait will be those things left by those who got there first.
That's about right.
Yeah, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll sit in a boat all day and drink beer.
Yeah.
Okay, a flashlight is a case for holding dead batteries.
Yeah, all right.
And let's see, the shin bone is a device for finding furniture in a dark room.
That's about right.
And fine
relate
is a
to
tax
that.
For doing wrong. A tax is a fine for doing well.
Yeah.
And finally, the last one, number one, or 14, whichever.
All right, whichever.
It says when you go into court, you're putting yourself in the hands of 12 people who weren't smart enough to get out of jury duty.
Yeah.
So that's it.
So there.
We'll come up with some other BS.
All right. You know, the Car Talk guys do this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Every Saturday morning, they read some silly something about like
well,
that.
Well, actually, that came from my friend in South Amboy, New Jersey, my accordion-selling friend, Peter Scherer, at Accordions-O-Rama. We were talking accordions, and he couldn't get the price down enough to sell me another accordion, so he sent that crap along.
Yeah. Accordions-O-Rama, that's what it's called?
Accordions-O-Rama, Peter Scherer. He's a fine fella. He'll treat you right.
Give him a call.
Good name there, too.
Thank you, Don Pat.
Yes.
Thank you, Don Shaw.
Yeah.
We'll do 110 next week, then take a couple weeks off. I mean, 210, then take a couple weeks off. I'm Phil Parr, and I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.